You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to Tech Thursday. This is Patrick Sheehan. I'll be with you for the next hour or so, looking at all the best in tech and everything like that. Answering any questions you might have, as always, you can call 069-66200, or you can text or WhatsApp 087-166-9800. But I suppose the best way, when it's tech-related and it's usually fleshed-out answers and things, or fleshed-out questions even, longer questions too, that you might have a detailed question, email is probably the best way to go. So you can go reception102@gmail.com. You can mark it down for Tech Thursday, or for myself, Patrick Sheehan, and I'll answer it live on air for you. So sometimes people's questions will also answer the same question for many other people. So it's very useful. And actually, the first question that I'll be answering, I've kind of already resolved for the person in question, because they actually came up to me in the street and they said, "Are you the fellow from the radio?" So they must have known me. You're good with tech and things like that. I said, I'm all right. You know, I know my bits and pieces. I know a little about a lot of different things. That's the way I describe it. About most things, actually. I know a little about a lot of things. He was saying that he had this pop-up coming up in his phone, and he was afraid to turn it on. And so I said to have a look at it. And it was a standard kind of pop-up. But when people don't recognize them and don't know what they are, they get worried about it, you know. And a lot of these pop-ups are kind of designed to make it look like you're hacked, even if you're not. Or, you know, your phone is compromised, ring this number, click this link, or you will not be able to access it. When really, like, especially with computer ones and things like that, but it's similar with phones. Really, all you have to do is X out of them and, you know, maybe clear your cache and clear your cookies and your history and the whole lot. Or with phones, sometimes it's a recently installed app. So you might see this app about whatever, a new video player or a new app that'll count your steps or something, some flashlight app I even heard about happening with. And when you install it, you give it permission, whatever permission it's asking for. And all of a sudden, then you have pop-ups for ads or pop-ups for malware or your phone is infected, kind of pop-ups popping up on your phone. And it's because the app brought it in. It was like a Trojan horse kind of thing, bringing in this pop-up. But most of these pop-ups are actually harmless. They can actually be viruses, and they can actually, but the majority of them are just trying to get you to ring a number or click a link or email or give your bank details and things like that. So the first thing you do is try to get rid of it. As I say, check your recently installed apps if there's anything that isn't, say, like a kind of fully checked app that has the tick in the Play Store, you know, that it's authenticated and all that. Maybe try to delete that if it's not something that's essential, and see if it goes away. Also, maybe install different types of antivirus and cleaners, and sometimes some of the cleaners can scan your phone or laptop or whatever it is and actually find it and eliminate it for you. The likes of Windows Defender built into laptops is actually quite good from time to time. It popped up with something. Say I'd be browsing and trying to find information on something, even like tech related, and I'd search the parameters I'm looking for, and then this website pops up. So I'll try that, so, and see. And I wouldn't know the website, but I see would it have information on whatever thing I'm trying to look up. And all of a sudden, the Windows Defender goes off that there's something built into the website, and it recommends that you go out of it, and it kind of cordons it off for you. It doesn't let it get into your computer, so that's very good. Like, you can download various apps on the phone that does a similar job, you know, paid and unpaid. A lot of the famous brands, Kaspersky and Avira, and a lot of those have the phone versions as well, you know, so you can look through all the different ones and see which one would be the best for you. But I think the first advice anyway is not to do whatever it asks you. If it's asking you for something Or if it's telling you, just press back, or maybe turn off the internet on your phone and or restart the phone, because a lot of the time it's just a pop-up thing. Trying, so it's not actually, your phone isn't actually gone most of the time, or laptops, it's just a pop-up and you need to close it down and maybe do a bit of a clean-up and it'll stop happening. Or delete, like, maybe some app that you recently got that is bringing it in, that kind of thing. And also, you can look up, you know, on Google, certain, the type of thing it is, because there's lots of different types as well, so... And there's ways to get rid of them and ways to clean up. It depends on what type of phone you have, if it's Apple or Android, and different models and different versions of Android and different security systems built in. So there's definitely apps that can be downloaded to kind of help to protect your phone. So you can Google the best security apps, or you can download ones that you'd be familiar with already from the Play Store. So that's it's a good first barrier anyway, on top of having the security all, you know, turned on properly on your phone itself, the built-in security. So I see here in the latest stories in tech, the founder of TikTok, the owner of TikTok, ByteDance, resigns as CEO. It says, "I lack some of the skills that make an ideal manager," says Zhang Yiming. ByteDance's CEO has announced he's stepping down from his role leading the company. While success with TikTok led to it becoming the world's most valuable startup, Zhang Yiming, who co-founded ByteDance in 2012, will move to another position in the company, and fellow co-founder Liang Rubo will become the new CEO. Liang runs HR at ByteDance. In a lengthy internal letter that ByteDance later made public, Zhang ruminated on his position and how he feels he'd be more effective in another role. He says, "I worry I'm still relying too much on the ideas I had before starting the company and haven't challenged myself by updating these concepts. I think someone else can better drive progress through areas like improved daily management." He thought the role was maybe a bit big for him. Zhang described Liang as an invaluable partner and started discussions about him taking over as ByteDance CEO back in March. Okay, so. Zhang's new iPad cases are affordable alternatives to Magic Keyboard. So I'm looking at what I thought at first glance was a laptop, but no, it's an iPad built into a screen surround and a keyboard on it that makes it look like a laptop. So that's pretty cool. I know Apple make their own ones that kind of clip in, but this makes it look very very laptop looking. Zhang has announced a new selection of iPad keyboards, the Pro Keys with trackpad, a case with detachable Bluetooth keyboard, the laptop style rugged book with an adjustable magnetic hinge, and the trackpadless Pro Keys case. So they have a few different products. The accessories support several Apple's newest iPads, from the M1-enabled iPad Pro to the high-end, to the entry-level 10.2-inch iPad. Good alternative keyboard cases to Apple's trackpad equipment Magic Keyboard are mostly limited to Logitech's Combo Mix or Bridges Pro Plus. So Zhang's version is more than welcome, if a bit less sleek. Unlike Magic Keyboard, the Pro Keys with trackpad has a case that wraps around your entire iPad and detachable back. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It looks makes it look very laptop looking. A detachable backlit Bluetooth keyboard that also, I love backlit keyboards as well, that doubles as an adjustable stand with magnetically attached, along with the trackpad, which can be independently turned off to save battery. The case also includes a built-in protective cover for the Apple Pencil. Based off of Zhang's photos, it seems pretty thick, but the keyboard case is almost half the price of the Magic Keyboard. If I did have an iPad, I would definitely be interested in one of those. The Pro Keys with the trackpad cost $150. It's still not super cheap, for 11-inch iPad Pros and 10.9-inch iPad Air. For the less powerful one, it costs $139, so it's a 10 or less. And there's no version for the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, unfortunately. So it's only for the bigger one. It's only for the smaller ones. It's only for the 10-inch, 10.2-inch, and 11-inch, and 10.9-inch. Oh, okay. That's a pity. You think the bigger, like most laptops you get, will be 14 to 17 inches. So you think the bigger one would be more laptop-like, because that's exactly what it's aiming for there, is to make it laptop-looking. So Zag's new rugged book is much closer to Bridge's laptop-style keyboard cases. It's thick, though it's, in this case, intentionally. The Zag's claim is about 6.6 feet drop protection as well. It's $149.99, and, oh yeah, that's a similar kind of thing as well, more rugged, a thicker one. Oh, this is for the 11-inch iPad Pro and 10.9-inch. Which one was excluded? Oh, yeah, the 12. So the 12 is excluded in this one as well. It's only for the 11-inch and 10.9-inch. Is there any one for the bigger one? Finally, there's the Pro Keys case. So this is another one. It's a thinner, slightly thinner-looking one. The keyboard doesn't have a trackpad by the looks of it, and it's propped up at the back, you know, the folding case to prop it up, so it can't, the hinge isn't strong enough to hold it up, so it's just the back holds it up, the folding cover on it holds it up. And finally, the most stripped down and straightforward of the bunch, like its name suggests. I kind of prefer the other ones, though. I like when it turns it into like a full laptop effect. It shares a lot of, probably most people don't, they probably prefer the skinnier ones, but I don't know, I like the one that makes it into, and you could just take it out then and use it as a tablet if you want, just without the trackpad. Like Apple's Smart Keyboard Folio case, the Pro Keys case offers two main viewing angles, but since it's technically an iPad case and a keyboard cover, you can theoretically stay protected without the keyboard attached. The Pro Keys case costs $109.99 for the 11-inch and up to $169.99 for the 12.9-inch. So it does, that one does do the 12.9-inch. It's the only one that does. Samsung Galaxy Pro Book and Pro 360 OLED for $999. So this is... Samsung have unveiled two members of its Galaxy Book line. There's a Pro Book, a clamshell, and a Galaxy Book Pro 360, a two-in-one convertible. Both devices come in 13-inch and 15-inch sizes, and all four configurations include nice AMOLED screens, it says here. This is on The Verge. They'll be some of the lightest and most portable PCs you can buy, and they're powered by Intel's latest 11th generation processors. So it doesn't give you too much detail, but they've just made that announcement. So, the Colonial Pipeline boss confirms $4.4 million ransom was paid to the hackers. I think it was Russian hackers. I think it's the same with the HSE. I think it's Russian. They're thinking it's Russian hackers as well from different articles and stuff I've seen. Colonial Pipeline has confirmed it paid $4.4 million ransom to the cyber criminal gang responsible for taking the U.S. pipeline offline, the U.S. fuel pipeline offline. So this is coming from BBC.com. It told the Wall Street Journal that they authorized the payment on the 7th of May because of uncertainty over how long the shutdown would continue. I know it's a highly controversial decision. Joseph Bellot said his first interview says the hack. Yeah, because they say it kind of incentivizes the hackers to and other hackers to start doing it because they can make money out of it. But they said they had to do it because it was... thousands of people were without fuel for their vehicles and for different things. So, the 5,500-mile pipeline carries 2.5 million barrels a day. Oh yeah, so it's huge. It supplies a lot of people. So they felt they had to pay the ransom. I presume the police and FBI and all them were called in, and I suppose they weren't immediately able to lock them out or get their information back or track down who it was and catch them or whatever it was. Anyway, Sphero's cute car-shaped robot is driven to teach kids about programming. So this is a little blue car, and it has a computerized face on the front. So let's see what it says. It includes puzzles that require logically giving computers instructions. Sphero, a longtime maker of robotic toys, has announced a robotic toy car that's designed to teach young children about the fundamentals of programming. This is via Gizmodo, the article. It's called the Sphero Indy, and kids can use different coloured silicone tiles to give the car instructions, letting them create courses and mazes, and hopefully learn how to logically solve programs while doing so. The Indy uses a colour sensor to check while tile is driving over. Which tile is driving over? The green tile telling it to speed up, the pink tile. Oh, so you lay the tiles along the ground and that'll set the path for the car, because one tells it to go faster, one tells it to turn left, turn right, with purple tiles telling it to stop and celebrate and so on, to teach kids how to create instructions to get Indy from point A to point B. So that's quite good. That sounds fun for the kids as well. I'd nearly play with that myself. no, that sounds good. It's a good idea, a little toy car, and the tiles give tiles give different instructions. So that's the Sphero Indy educational toy kind of for kids. So Ford F-150 Lightning revealed, an electric truck for the masses. Up to 3,000 miles of range, starting at $40,000. This is in America, of course. I think it's the Ford F-150 in general is the biggest selling vehicle in the world, and it's only sold in North America. I think I read that somewhere. I might be wrong, but I think it is. The most popular vehicle in the United States, obviously, it says that, is going electric. Ford has revealed the F-150 Lightning, an all-electric version of its popular pickup truck, due out in 2022, and it's aggressively priced for the EV market. The base model with 230 miles of range starts at $39,974, just below $40,000. While the that's pretty cheap by electric car standards, especially for a bigger one, I suppose. But American cars are much cheaper anyway. See the prices of like Corvettes or some like Mustangs and stuff for like 28,000 or 35,000 or some of them, you know, the kind of the base level ones. And any of them over here, cars like that would be like 50,000 plus. They're like, some of them are like half the price they're here. For like upper level cars, we'll say. While the extended range version starts at mid 50,000s and can go about 300 miles. So there's no, there like 300 miles is the, like, isn't there some Teslas now that can go like 450 or something that's supposed to, but yeah, you think with a big truck, with a big flat bed in it, would be able to get much more batteries in. I know it's heavier as well though, but you think they'd be able to get it up 400 miles plus, and that puts it right on par price-wise with Tesla's Cybertruck, and far below the more luxury-minded options like Rivian's R1T or General Motors' exorbitant GMC Hummer pickup. And since Ford's vehicles are still eligible for the full $7,500 federal tax credit, the price tag can essentially come down even more. Oh, right. Oh, so when you buy it in America with these tax credits, you can say, what's the cheapest one? Almost 40,000. You can get 7,500 off of it. So that's pretty good. Yeah, that's very good. The federal tax credit, the price tag can essentially come down, yeah. So it's especially stunning, though, because of all variants, the F-150 Lightning are built with Ford's Super 4-Door Super Crew cab, the petrol version, which starts at 36,000, the base model Lightning is even slightly cheaper than its comparable hybrid F-150 counterpart. Most electric vehicles to date have cost more than their petrol counterparts, but Ford is the closest to bucking the trend. Ford has already started taking reservations for $100. So that was the Tesla tactic of the selling the truck, and you could pay 100 quid and reserve your one, and it was refundable and all that. There's a few sacrifices in that base model aside from range, but nothing that seems terribly prohibitive. And while sticker price isn't everything when it comes to electric vehicles, it's a big barrier for many users. The F-150 Lightning's price goes up with added features and extra range, but from what Ford revealed Wednesday night, the company looks ready to convince a wide swath of customers to consider electric. Isn't it funny, the cheaper cars in petrol have usually, sometimes, and usually, have better range. You know, like if you buy, like, say, petrol especially, if you buy, like, a 2 litre petrol car, would usually have much less range than a 1 litre petrol car. Maybe with diesel, they'd have smaller tanks, and diesel seemed to be, it's more balanced, but yeah, in general, it still has to be worked out. The battery technology still is kind of moving on, and but it's still not there yet where it needs to be. You know, there's always that famous story about the car broke through from the horse and cart and all that because there was no choice. Like it beat it in every way. Whereas the electric motor isn't doing that. The battery technology isn't doing that yet. You can't just go and charge up your battery in a minute and drive it for 600 or 800 miles, which you can do with a petrol car. I was watching, actually, James May from Top Gear. He had a video, and he was driving a Toyota hydrogen hybrid car, which was an electric motor with a hydrogen fuel cell as well. And he was comparing that. It was a Toyota. I forget what the name was, but he was comparing that to Tesla Model S P100D. Was the dual motor one, the most powerful one? But it's the most expensive one at the time whenever that video was made. He was comparing them, and you know, it was the same. Like he was going on a trip with each, with both of them, but he was taking turns and someone else was driving. But he was kind of pretending it was himself driving both, but he was swapping back and forth anyway, just to take a trip with him. And at one stage he stopped and he had to sit in, and you have the whole range anxiety is a thing with, like, which you don't get with diesel and petrol. And hydrogen, as it turned out, as well. But like people worrying about the miles, and you know, can we go there and come back? And is there a charging station? And if it's a slow charging station, we're going to be there for an hour. If it's a fast charging station, we're going to be there for half an hour. If there's more, another thing that people don't realize is, you say the fast charger, you read that the fast charger can give you, you know, 20 miles or say 40 miles in 20 minutes or whatever. And you say, oh, I only need to go 40 miles, so that'll do. And then you pull in and there's four or five other cars there, then it's actually slower. It'll take maybe 25 minutes or 30 minutes or something. When all the cars are pulled in, the superchargers are all working and they don't charge as quickly. So it can slow them down. So he pulled in with the hydrogen car and he connected on the nozzle. And it locks in place. It has a little computer chip that talks to the car, and then you tell it how much you want, and it took like a minute to do, and it got him the 40 miles of hydrogen that he needed to get back, whereas it took like the electric car a half an hour. So he's saying that the hydrogen is very clean, but when he was going by talking about the downsides of the hydrogen fuel cells, is that the network isn't there, and that it's kind of inefficient to produce hydrogen at the moment, that it takes electricity to make it and things like that. But I suppose the more, because the breakdown, say if you're using water to break down hydrogen and oxygen and things like that, and you burn the hydrogen, but it is much cleaner. And the stations to fill it up. But he's saying then the plus sides is that it can be filled from a petrol station. You know, you can have petrol, diesel and hydrogen and things like that. It can be done fast. Batteries are also kind of dirty to make. We'd say the lithium strip mines and stuff are much, are very damaging to the environment as well. Plus the charging time, the range and things like that. So there's pluses and minuses to both. I think if we had already a kind of a full He was on about like the electricity structure and producing the electricity and the range and all that. And he was saying that, oh, in the future, there could be like inductive charging where there's like plates built into the road and where the car could be constantly charging as it drives along. Or at night, you'd park over, you know, every parking space would have a plate where you pull in. And then he was saying, when he was going back and forth between hydrogen and electricity, he was saying that that then would also be a big new infrastructure would have to be done, the same as if you wanted to put in hydrogen. So I think some countries, Japan and a few other places, are going more into hydrogen than others, the likes of us and things like that. That's why I see Toyota have made like a sports car with hydrogen fuel cell. So they're trying now, hopefully they might find a better way of refining hydrogen. And there was a thing too, like that it's not, you're still using fossil fuel and should get away from that. And I don't see that at all. If it works, if it's clean and it doesn't harm the environment and stuff, the fuel itself, then there's no harm. Just because it has a similarity to petrol or diesel in that it burns it or whatever. But if it's not making any waste products and it's clean to burn and all that, if they can clean up the production of it and make it more efficient than battery technology, or that it can work with batteries maybe and have to use less batteries. I think you have to use much less batteries, obviously, when you have a hydrogen fuel cell. It might work, but it's yet to be seen, I suppose. And maybe battery technology, maybe they'll have these new graphene batteries or have these structural strength batteries that can be like the whole chassis of the car could be one big battery or something. And that might work where, you know, the battery can do a huge range, but then you still have the time it takes to charge it, but then they might put in inductive charges. So we don't know what the future holds. If it'll end up in a hydrogen, if they get more efficient at producing hydrogen more cleanly for using less energy especially. So it's kind of yet to be seen. This is on about true wireless earbuds. What kind of options is there out there other than the usual Samsung and Apple and things like that? So they're on about Jabra Elites. So what's this? Apple AirPod deals. Apple AirPod Pros. Apple AirPods. Why is it all Apple? Samsung Galaxy Buds. They look like a bean. They have it actually in the picture. It looks like it's in a thing of beans. But Samsung Galaxy Buds. What are the kind of top ones? Galaxy Buds Pro. That shape of the Galaxy Buds, they look like they wouldn't stay in my ear very well. Although, I prefer the kind of Apple-shaped ones. I have what are they called? Empow X3s. And they're kind of like Apple-shaped ones, how they fit in your ear. But the outside part is a bit different. But they're pretty cheap, and I find they work pretty good. They were less than €30 and work pretty good. I think they last 30 hours in total, like 7 hours on their own, and the case charges them as well. So the case will charge them enough times to last 30 hours total. Samsung Galaxy Buds Pro. So these are some of the top ones. Galaxy Buds Live, other true wireless, the Jabra Elite. A lot of people have heard talking about Jabra, but I've never tried them now. They're supposed to be quite good. They're not cheap though, but they're supposed to be quite good. Power Beats by Beats. I have Empow Flames, and they look quite similar to the Power. I suppose Empow kind of copied them rather than the other way around, definitely. But that form is quite good as well. But I was always fearful of the AirPod type ones. You know, these wireless ones. I thought they'd, you know, fall out your ear and stuff, but no. I wear mine out walking and things like that now. I go walking with my wife, and we have one ear each. And never have fallen out or anything like that. And these are just, they're not the most expensive ones. They're the, you know, the M-Pow X3, so they wouldn't be the most expensive ones. But you know what? They sound good and they work good and the battery lasts ages, so that's fine for me. Amazon Echo Buds are $100, just some of the different ones, and that's it. So they don't go into the cheaper ones as much. It's more the that's a list there of the most, the kind of high-end ones, the top five there. So The Last of Us Part 2 gets long-awaited 60 frames per second update for the PS5. Patch 1.08 is available Wednesday. I actually have The Last of Us on PlayStation 4. I haven't played it on PS5 yet, but I have it on disc, I think. So if I use the disc, will it not upgrade it? It might upgrade it to the... Oh, no, this is The Last of Us 2. Oh, no, I haven't played that, sorry. I got mixed up. I thought it was The Last of Us, but it was The Last of Us 2. It's getting long-awaited PlayStation 5 patch on Wednesday. It lets you play the game at targeted 60 frames per second. Actually, there might be deals on that. If I bought the PS4 version of it, if there was any deals going on it, I could upgrade it, like on disc. I could. I think when you put the PS4 disc into PS5s with games that are qualify, will get an upgrade to the PS5 version. So that might be a cheaper way of doing it than getting the PS5 version. So Naughty Dog said on the post, it's going to be going from 30 frames per second to 60 frames per second. This allows you to choose your preferred frame rate to complement the rest of your enhancements that are part of the PS5's backward compatibility with PS4 games, such as enhanced resolution, faster load times, and more. You can catch a trailer for the patch at the top of the post, and in my opinion, it looks great. It'd definitely be checking out. So this is on YouTube. If you look up The Last of Us Part 2 PlayStation 5 patch test, so you can see what it looks like if you're a fan of those games. And I was a fan of the first one now. It's kind of like Uncharted, one of the games, one of my favorite games ever. So any game that's like that is a good thing. Qualcomm's Snapdragon 778 chipset will put premium features in mid-range phones, plus the new M.2 reference design to help put 5G in more of your stuff. Qualcomm has announced a new 700 series chipset for mobile devices, the Snapdragon 778G 5G. It will start appearing in premium mid-range phones from manufacturers including Motorola, Xiaomi, Realme, Honor, Oppo and IQOO in the next few months, bringing some video capture and AI capabilities borrowed from the Snapdragon 888. The current chipset of choice of flagship Android phones, the company has also made a couple of announcements today designed to get 5G connectivity into more tech. The Snapdragon 778 offers three image sensor processors, or ISPs, a feature that Qualcomm touted in its flagship 888 chipset. It also appears on the higher-end 780G. This makes it possible to capture photos and video from three different cameras at once. You can easily switch between different cameras, video feeds during recordings, a la Samsung's Director View on the Snapdragon 888-powered S21 series. The processor also supports cameras with staggered HDR sensors like the 50-megapixel chip in Xiaomi's Mi 11 Ultra. For better HDR video recording, the 778 also includes some improvements for more GPU-efficient mobile gaming. Things like better noise suppression and camera experiences on video calls. Both millimeter wave and sub 6G, 6 gigahertz 5G are supported, as well as Wi-Fi 6. So that's quite good. That's a lot of the stuff that's in the Snapdragon 888. So that'll be good. There'll be a lot of, hopefully now, like the likes of the Poco phone, maybe there'll be a new Poco phone that'll have that. So it'll have like some of the top specs for like 300, 350 euros. So that'll be quite good now. And it'll have 5G. So, you know, hopefully they'll put it in some of the mid-range to price wise low price phone. So it'll mean more 5G in more places. So they're also making an M2 reference design available to current OEM customers of its X65 and X62 5G modems, which makes it easier for laptops, desktops, gaming and LOT manufacturers to incorporate 5G connectivity into their products. They're also debuting an X65 5G modem with Qualcomm, which Qualcomm says is more energy efficient than others, wider support of millimeter wave frequencies, and it will start appearing in commercial mobile devices later this year. So that's pretty cool. Google may be resurrecting Google Reader inside Chrome with follow button. Google is testing an experimental follow feature followed by RSS. Google is testing a new experimental Chrome feature that would allow people to get the latest content from their websites that they follow using RSS feeds, according to a Wednesday Chromium blog post, by tapping an RSS-powered follow button in Chrome. You could keep up with any site you choose, large or small. When the site publishes content, you'll see updates in a new follow section when you open a new tab. So it gives a little example of there. You have a follow section in it. It'll show you if you're following or not. This may sound familiar to Google Reader, an RSS service Google shuttered back in 2013 that let you subscribe to and read feeds from different publishers while tracking news through RSS. Never gained major mainstream popularity. It's possible that putting in follow button form in Chrome could help to pick up steam. Yeah, it could be a good idea. It sounds like a good idea. Google says it would provide more information to keep... Yeah, because there are certain websites you end up keep going back to, you know, certain... it's usually car ones with me, the stories about cars or about newer cars or photos of, like... I love Japanese cars and things like that, like JDM websites and things like that, showing like classic Japanese cars and 90s Japanese cars and things like that. And I end up going back to them. So it would be handy to have like a way, well, you can bookmark and things like that, but this might be an easier way of doing it. Bids to ride on Blue Origin's first crewed space launch rocket. Rockets passed $2 million. New Shepard is set to carry passengers for the first time in July 20th, including one wealthy auction winner. After 2 weeks of sealed online bidding out of public view, bids for a seat on the maiden voyage of Blue Origin's New Shepard are now out in the open. On Wednesday morning, the space company founded by Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos revealed that the highest sealed received bid was $1.4 million. Within a few hours of public bidding, the price had shot up to $2.6 billion, and there are still a few weeks for that amount to go up even higher until bidding ends with a live auction on June the 12th. $2.6 billion is the highest one so far. Blue Origin's website disclosed the current high bid, but does not identify the bidder. The company has not yet revealed what regular pricing will be for a seat on New Shepard in the future. It's likely collecting some very valuable market data on the auction from this auction process. Bitcoin falls further as China cracks down on... Oh, yes, so there was a big drop on a lot of cryptocurrencies in the last... Yesterday, was it? Yesterday and today. I guess it's due to China... I suppose they realize now that they can kind of... Elon Musk has shown people that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies can be manipulated quite easy, a lot of them. So China is getting involved in it now as well. China imposed fresh curbs on cryptocurrencies. Beijing banned banks and payment firms from providing services related to cryptocurrency. It also warned investors against speculative crypto trading on Tuesday. It follows falls in Bitcoin of more than 10% last week after Tesla said it would no longer accept the currency. They said it was for environmental reasons, but like they knew that all along, so it was strange to come out that way. On Wednesday afternoon, Bitcoin recovered some ground, although it still is down 10.4%. A lot of people said, oh, they were going out buying Bitcoin now because the price was down, but like it can still either go down or up, or it could completely crash, or it could double for whatever it was. You know, you don't know. That's the risk of anything in the stock market. Meanwhile, other digital currencies such as Ether, Ethereum, in other words, which acts as the fuel for the Ethereum blockchain network, and Dogecoin lost as much as 22% and 24% respectively. Cryptocurrency has been made illegal in China since 2019. The reason they were giving was to stop money laundering. But they're really clamping it down. Yeah, there's another article about it here. Bitcoin struggles for footing over China. Air's third quarter revenues dipped 3% despite rising customer numbers. Air said its broadband and mobile customers' numbers grew in the last 3 months to the end of March, and the increase in mobile customers driven by its low-cost GoMo service. Air said its number of fiber broadband customers and network increased by 8%, with the postpaid mobile banking increasing by 10%, but they're still losing money. Their revenue fell by 3% to $299 million as income from voice calls and its sports content waned. Oh yeah, I used to have the Air Sports package, and then they got rid of BT Sports off of it or something, and it's literally the only thing I watch. The only sport I watch pretty much is mixed martial arts, and that had the UFC on it. So when that went off of the Air Sports package, I just got rid of it. So maybe that's why a lot of other people got rid of it too. That it got there was changes in soccer rights and stuff as well. I don't watch it, so I don't know as much about it. But so yeah, maybe people pulled out of the Air Sports package or something like that as well. TikTok launched a small business hub in Ireland. They say it's to support small and medium enterprises in local communities and stuff. See what exactly they're doing. Shopify are partnering here to help Shopify merchants create and run ad campaigns directly geared towards a highly engaged TikTok community. Also, they're trying to get shops to kind of go on TikTok, so they're trying to grow TikTok while, you know, you getting businesses involved in TikTok. So yeah, it's helping themselves as much as helping shops. Now, I'm sure it might work good for that as well. Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, says that Irish businesses have faced unprecedented challenges during the pandemic, and anything that adds to help that is available from government, or add to the help that's available from government is welcome. New technology is transforming all our lives, and so he seems to think it's a positive thing. I suppose, look, it'll help TikTok, and hopefully it'll help businesses too. TikTok has over 1,100 employees in Ireland, which includes a dedicated SMB team led by Lisa Friedrich, which services as the European region broadly. So, okay, that's helping small businesses, so that's good. Vodafone, mobile operator Vodafone, has reported a 1.2 million drop in full-year adjusted earnings, coming at the bottom of its guidance and missing market expectations after COVID-19 hit roaming revenue and handset sales. See, I think things, like, especially with any of these companies that are related to tech and communication and things, they went up hugely. When companies always want to just go up and up and up, and it doesn't matter what happened in the last quarter, the next quarter has to be bigger, kind of thing. And I think when the pandemic started, the likes of Zoom became really popular, and makers of webcams started, the prices of webcams went up and things like that. But that was bound to level off, because as the pandemic is on its way down now again, it's probably, hopefully, it's 3/4 or more gone, or, you know, to being gone, hopefully, with so many people getting vaccinated and things like that. So, you know, the things are going to level off again. So I think there should be a more long-term kind of balance in these, rather than, you know, oh, we're down now, we're way down, this is big trouble. No, it's just we're the same as we were pre-pandemic, because things are starting to come back again and, you know, balance out. But their earnings before tax depreciation of 14.4 billion on revenue of 43.8 8 billion, which is down 2.6%. They're still doing all right for themselves. Vodafone said it had delivered a resilient performance in a year that had shown the value of connectivity. So that's it. Like, but things are balancing out again. Maybe as people are going back outdoors again and not fully communicating just online and things like that, not just Skyping their family all the time. They can maybe go and visit family again or something, as the different as it's allowed by the government and things like that. Anyway, that's pretty much it for today. Now I hope you've enjoyed Tech Thursday. As always, if you have any questions, you can call 069-66200 and you can text 087-166-9800, and that goes for WhatsApp as well. But as I always say, the best way to get through to me is, or to ask your question, I suppose, is reception102@gmail.com, and anything tech related there, I can give you a bit of advice, or I can do a bit of research on your behalf and for whatever knowledge I have, and you can take it with a pinch of salt. But I hope you've enjoyed looking at all the latest in tech and keeping things up to date. I'll be back again next week. Same bat time, same bat place. See you then. Peace.
You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.